This past Thursday, September 8th, a group of us gathered in the Bell parking lot to remember the events of 21 years ago today in New York City, Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. I have to ask you, where were you 21 years ago today? We were chatting just before we prayed in the sacristy this morning. One of our worship team wasn't even born yet. How many people here were born before 2001? Now, it's not a bad thing if you weren't. It just means that that memory is not ingrained in you. You may be doing a lot of reflecting on that and what took place, like on the History Channel. They're showing all of these different documentaries of and remembering that day and what built around it. So if you were alive in 2001, what were you doing when that first plane hit the World Trade Center? I can remember personally a sense of absolute disbelief, thinking, how could this be possible? I thought that it might have been a small plane from nearby Teterboro Airport, which is across the Hudson River in New Jersey. Everybody tried to find out about it so fast, as fast as we could. Well, the internet back in 2001 was nothing like it is today. You couldn't stream news reports or anything. It was basically to go out and look for information. There was no such thing as Google. It wasn't around yet. There were other search engines. So you'd go out there and ask Jeeves or whatever it was that you were using at the time. Some people are remembering that. And you'd try to find out what was going on, but it was very slow in coming in. We had to scamper, try to find a TV. I was at AT&T Universal Card in Jacksonville, Florida. And all of us in the information technology department started getting live news feeds on any available TVs throughout the campus. And that became so much more important as the day progressed. But I'd like to ask you right now, if you would, let's have a moment of silence for those lives that were lost on September 11th, 2001. Let us not forget. Growing up on Long Island, New York, even though I was living in Jacksonville, Florida, I knew that I had friends who worked in the World Trade Center and a sister who worked about a block away. I was very familiar with the area, having been in the buildings many times over the 10 years that I worked in Manhattan. The 72nd floor of Building 1, or the North Tower, was the AT&T branch office and development center for demonstrations and training. I've been there many times, and I can also tell you the names of firefighters from my hometown of Merrick, New York, who, being New York City firefighters, went into the buildings. Ronnie Geis was one who died that day, trying to save lives. Even though being 1,000 miles away, I could really visualize the places that were being reported over the news reports. I had walked those streets many times. It was truly a frantic day. I happened to be on the phone with my sister, Lee, Kathleen Lavacek, who worked very near the World Trade Center on Wall Street at Sadler Publishing, and suddenly the phone went dead. You see, what happened was that first building came tumbling down, and it cut off all communications. I wouldn't find out until much later in that day that she, along with thousands of others in the chalky air, walked several miles across to the Brooklyn Bridge to Brooklyn, and then a few more miles to the Long Island Railroad Station so that she could get home. It took her hours to get there and to get home. And I finally got to speak to her later in the evening and found out that, thank God, she was safe. There are many accounts of what transpired next. Many people asked many questions like, how could Jesus let all those people die such horrible deaths? Parents, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, mothers and fathers, friends and loved ones were lost. Many people asked, well, where was Jesus during those attacks? And they were attacked by people who were filled with hate and driven by evil. The answer is clearly given to us when we go to God's Word. So I want to begin with the words of Jesus himself from Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus said, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, Jesus never left the side of those men and women who were trapped in the buildings, and the first responders as well. Those who loved Jesus and have his Holy Spirit to comfort and to guide them, and for those who did not know Jesus, God said through the psalmist, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Psalm 50, verse 15. And the Lord told Moses to encourage his people for ages to come. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. The Apostle Paul puts all of this into perspective when he wrote, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He wrote that in Romans 8, verse 28. And then there's the character of our most compassionate and loving Almighty God, as Jesus told us in the parables in Luke chapter 15. The rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents. Jesus was not saying that the other 99 sheep were not important. Instead, he was emphasizing that one sheep, not in the fold, corresponded with the sinners with whom Jesus was eating. The 99 righteous persons refer to the Pharisees, who thought themselves righteous and therefore had no need to repent. God does not want to lose even one soul. He's filled with compassion, and he loves each and every person. God loves humanity so much that he will not force his love on anyone. And that, my friends, is the free will that he gives us. And his invitation is for everybody. All we need to do is stop and think of Jesus' words that run from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. I won't read them all to you, but you know, for God so loved the world. And that means not just Christians and not just Jews. He loves everyone so much that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That gift comes to all who believe. Because of free will, the enemy uses it by manipulating those who refuse the invitation of salvation. And believe me, evil can creep in or onto a plane and do what they did 21 years ago today. It should be our prayers that those lost sheep would see Jesus welcoming them and not refuse his loving care. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for people who refuse Christ. Did you know that Muslims are seeing Jesus in dreams today? They're receiving him in amazing numbers. You don't hear that on the news because that doesn't sell. And it doesn't fit the agenda of certain people in power. We need to pray for those lost souls as well. Please, let us not forget. Now, I am not being political in any way, shape, or form. You may be saying, well, Father, you were just talking about those in power. I'm not talking about government. News agencies have people in power, and they have agendas. Trust me, they have agendas. I worked in broadcasting. As a matter of fact, I still work in broadcasting, but I work amongst Christians now. I've got to tell you, at one point, we were told we were not allowed to say Merry Christmas on the radio. Had to be Happy Holidays. Those in power have an agenda. The parable of the lost coin teaches us that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels when a sinner repents. That's the same message as the first parable, but it emphasizes the thoroughness of the search. The woman continued to sweep that house and search carefully until she found the coin, which was something to her was very valuable. A drachma, a Greek silver coin. So valuable, a person would want to search very carefully for it. Houses in that time usually had no windows and only dirt floors, making the search for a single coin pretty difficult, if not nearly impossible. The point would have been clear to Jesus' listeners. The sinners with whom he was associating were extremely valuable to God. As a matter of fact, every sinner is valuable to God, his creation. And God loves all of his creation. The last 21 years have resulted in a lot of healing and also a lot of pain. My family and I lost many dear friends, and the community where I grew up in Merrick, New York, lost many police and firefighters that day. One particular man, Tommy Crotty, died in the World Trade Center working in the financial industry. We grew up together. I coached him in baseball. He grew up and he moved to another town called Rockville Center. He got married and his wife and he had two beautiful daughters. That day he never came home after going to work. Another person was Captain Ronnie Geis of the Merrick Volunteer Fire Department, who also worked for the New York City Fire Department. He went willingly into the site of the terrorism that day, trying to save people and put out fires. He also didn't come home that day to his wife, Carol, and their three young sons. Others were David Greiner, Sean and Farrell Lynch, two brothers, and Brian Sweeney. There were 15 people that went to my church that never came home that day. My godson and nephew, Patrick Gavigan, was a New York City police officer who got called to Ground Zero for rescue and recovery because he also was a Merrick Volunteer firefighter. And he had experience in saving lives as well as rescue and recovery. During his time working at Ground Zero, he was taken for smoke inhalation to the makeshift Chelsea Piers Hospital. And he is not only a survivor, but he helped to recover many victims for their families. Patrick was honored for his bravery by Mayor Giuliani, who asked Patrick what the city could do for him after he had done so much for them. Patrick said that it was his dream. He always wanted to be a New York City firefighter. He became a police officer in hopes of one day transferring to be a firefighter. Well, you know what the mayor said? There's a class coming up in August, and you're in it. He made sure that he would be in that class. The mayor saw to it and was as good as his word. Patrick just celebrated his 20th anniversary as a lieutenant in the New York City Fire Department. The wounds are so very near and dear to all of our hearts. All of us have stories. All of us have connections, whether close personal connections or memories. We must never forget what took place that day, the first time that an attack like this took place on our own homeland, and how Jesus' compassion and love not only covered those who died, but covered those who lost loved ones that day, and those who worked tirelessly to search for survivors as well as victims of this tragedy. Let us never forget. I want to suggest to you God's love in the verses immediately following today's Holy Gospel. And I'm sure you're familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. This young man made the worst insult to his father, demanding his inheritance while his father was still alive. Can you imagine that? His father loved him so much that he gave it to him. This young man completely blows it. He squanders it and ends up eating with pigs. And you know, Jews don't have pigs around. They were treif. They were unclean. So it wasn't in a Jewish neighborhood. He had sunken so very low. He's in a land that raised pigs, unclean animals. And he longs to return home. Not as a son, but as a servant to work for his father. His father did the unexpected. A lot of times fathers can sit back and expect their sons to come to them, waiting for him to come and apologize. That's not the character of this father in that parable. That's not the character of Almighty God. Well, this father sees him coming and doesn't wait for him to come and apologize. Instead, he runs to his son. That's the character of God. He pursues the lost and is not sitting on high waiting for them to come and apologize. God is filled with mercy, not giving us what we deserve. We pray for mercy, but instead, he gives us grace, an undeserved gift, and makes us heirs in his kingdom. Today, in closing, as we remember September 11th, 2001, I would ask each one of us to not forget to pray for those lost loved ones and pray for those people whose lives are empty because they don't know Jesus. Let us remember to pray for those left behind and always remember all those who gave everything that day. Let us not forget. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.